Today's sermon is called The Gift of Obedience. If you want to start the first slide up there, Arturo. Thank you. And we're going to jump right in to the Word of God here. You can open to Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read verses 1 to 5, Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. This is the beginning of the Christmas story, the story we all know and love. And you can almost see Joseph walking next to the donkey with his wife, soon-to-be wife, sorry, Mary, on the back of it. And I know we've all seen those very romantic pictures, right, of Joseph and Mary in the starry sky and the donkey walking. It's very romantic and cinematic, and everyone's just happy serving the Lord, and there's just this peace there that you get in those pictures. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? But have you ever thought about what it was like on this journey and leading up to this journey for Joseph? Not so easy, and not maybe so romantic as those pictures painted out to be. But I have a video to kind of bring some maybe color to this side of how Joseph was approaching this whole topic. So if you want to go to the next slide, there we got the video.
Don't look at me that way. I don't want to hear it. I mean it, Delilah. This whole trip is ridiculous and you know it. Whoa, how's that again? How's 90 miles with my pregnant wife for one? And you're not the smoothest ride ever. No offense. What if she starts contracting on the way? Yes. In fact, I am throwing myself a pity party and you're invited, so stop complaining about it. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't blame you. I blame Caesar and this whole headcounting nonsense. Truth is, and I'm only telling you this, under ordinary circumstances, I would love to make the trip back to Bethlehem and see my family again, my uncles, my cousins, of course, Aunt Yael. But now... How am I supposed to explain all this? Mary needed an angel to explain it to her. I needed a divine dream to get it. What am I supposed to do when I get to Bethlehem, huh? Break the ice over some matzah? What is my family gonna say when they see Mary and I together, and she looks... Doesn't matter. We have to make the trip to Bethlehem because I, way, way back, am related to a king. What do you mean I don't look like I have royal blood? It's true. I'm related to a king. And she is about to give birth to a king. And... You said marry her, so I did. You said name him Jesus, so I will. You said he would be the Son of God. your son. You are too good to us, Lord. What was impossible to believe still seems so impossible. So, girl, you will be carrying Mary, and Mary will be carrying the Son of God, and I will be carrying a lot to process. This little pity party thing stays between us, okay?
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee.
Well, now we know a few things, right? We know the donkey's name was what? Delilah. We know that she has a bit of an attitude, right? We know that Joseph is a donkey whisperer, right? Fill in some things that we're missing here, right? Well, while the video makers took some liberties in that skit, it brings a bit of human element to the whole thing, right? Men, we love sitting in traffic, right? Bumper to bumper when we need to be someplace. We love going on road trips where something's gonna go wrong. Flat tire, or someone gets car sick or something, right? Those are just the realities of life. Traveling long distances, car or donkey, it's not the easiest. But it's pretty interesting to stop and think about what it must have been like for Joseph leading up to this Christmas journey, the issues, the things that he was dealing with. And there had to be a lot of questions on his mind. He has to be concerned about how things are going to go and what people would think. Unlike so many in this Christmas story, Joseph only had a dream to go on. A dream. Zechariah couldn't speak, so he knew that God was up to something. You know, Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, right? Mary was pregnant. She couldn't deny God was at work. Angel appeared to her. The shepherds had the heavenly host appear to them in the middle of the field. And the Magi, the wise men, had a star that was leading them and moving in the sky to bring them to the place of Jesus' birth. And Joseph had a dream. That's it. He had to trust what was told to him during that dream was actually from God, and not because of some imagination or perhaps some meal that he had the night before. Have you ever had a weird dream and you think, was that from God or was that just my mind doing weird things? Have you, anybody experienced that? Yeah, usually God will confirm these things if we have a vision or dream from him, but so often we can't be fully grasping and understanding from dreams. But what faith Joseph shows in this Christmas story. It's amazing that this quiet man that we don't really know that much about may have been the most faith-filled person in this Christmas story. He chose to obey God, and in doing so, he sets an example for us. And Joseph shows us how to obey God in difficult times. Obeying God is a challenge because we want to do what we want to do. Right? Or am I the only one? I think we all have this urge that, man, I just want to do what I want to do. And not necessarily give everything into the Lord's hand. However, the general challenge is intensified when we throw in difficulties. Here's a difficulty. Your fiancé, whom you have not lain with, is pregnant. Here's another difficulty. She is telling you that it is God. Joseph has a plan. Avoid the difficult times. And we read about this in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly." This is a part of the story we often forget. Joseph had a plan, his plan, to divorce Mary quietly. It's a benevolent plan. He's going to step away quietly so Mary is not exposed to humiliation and shame. He's not running away. He is actually planning to do a righteous thing here. There's only one problem with this plan. It's his plan and not God's plan. Matthew 1, 20 to 25 continues, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." During the most difficult time of Joseph's life, God called him to be obedient, to make sure God's word prophecy was fulfilled. Who would have blamed Joseph if he would have followed his original plan and quietly divorced Mary? The truth is, no one would have known Joseph even had this dream. It was personal to him. No one would have blamed him. Obedience is not about who is watching or who knows what. Obedience is about trusting God, his will, his plan for our lives. Even when it seems impossible and doesn't make sense, we still trust the Lord. Joseph is obedient because he's what? So the word says he's a righteous man who trusts God's plan as the best plan for him. Obedience is tough when life is good, much less when life is difficult. That baby that Mary was carrying would grow up to say these words from John 16, 33. Jesus says, "I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen. That brings such peace in our hearts, in our lives, that in difficult times in this world, the things we experience, the things we see happening around us, especially in this day and age, when we watch the news and there's just so much anguish, pain, turmoil, chaos, difficulty, hardship going on. And we're even feeling it in this wonderful free country in Canada. We are entering into difficult times. We are in difficult times. But we are to take heart because he has overcome the world and he is with us. What a promise. What a game changer. And what peace that brings to us. God is not asking us to hop on our donkeys and take a pregnant wife on a journey. But he's asking us to trust in him. No matter how difficult life gets, he has overcome the world, and we are to put our faith, our trust in him. Everything's under his control. Everything is under submission to him. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He sits on the eternal throne in heaven and rules over everything. And he's got this. He's got us. This baby, Jesus, would grow up to be the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Isn't that just wonderful to say? Say it with me. Prince of Peace. Let's say it again. Prince of Peace. That is our Jesus. That is our Lord. That is our Savior. That is our God. The Prince of Peace. The one who would calm the storms of our lives and see us through the difficulties is the Prince of Peace. The truth of the matter is that we experience peace when we obey God in the midst of difficulties, of trials, of life. Joseph showed us how to obey God in distant places. Joseph is going to have three dreams, these visits from the angel in his dreams. The first comes when he's instructed to take Mary as his wife, even though she is pregnant. The second comes after the Magi, the wise men, make their visit to see Jesus. And we read about that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. It says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is searching for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt." Joseph could have had no idea when he agreed to take Mary as wife that his life would never be the same. Surely he just wanted to go back home and live his life in peace like we all would, right? Without any more long journeys or hiccups. However, he was not safe at home. His family was not safe at home. King Herod was killing baby boys in an attempt to destroy the coming Messiah. So the angel in Joseph's second dream says, "Take your family to Egypt." Now, Egypt is not a safe place. It is a safer place, but it's a foreign land. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus are what in this land? They are refugees in this land, seeking asylum from a tyrannical ruler. They're far away from family and friends. They have each other, and they have God, and that's pretty much it. They will stay there for 2 to 3 years. Have you ever been in this situation in your life? Have you ever found yourself in a distant place? It may be physically in a distant country or seeking refugee status, perhaps even coming to Canada at some point, some of you. It could be an emotional or a social distance as well that you've experienced in your life. Either way, feeling far away from what you know and love and hold dear can be difficult. And the real challenge of distant places is when you feel distant from God. Have you ever felt distant from God? Have you? Honestly, I have. There are those moments where we feel distant from God. When by choices or circumstances, it seems God is not there with us. And Christmas is all about God coming to be with us, right? And yet sometimes we still feel distant from Him. The truth is, we're never really distant from God. He is always with us. And it's just a feeling. But we know that feelings can be deceiving, right? It's not always true what we feel in a circumstance. And again, baby Jesus would grow up and say to his followers in Matthew 28:20, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of this age." God is always with us to the very end of age. Remember what the angel said to Joseph in his first dream? They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Christmas story of God coming to be with us. We may feel distant from him, but we are not. He is always with us. God showed up and he said he is going to be with us to the very end of the age. During this holiday season, this Christmas time, if you're distant from family or distant from friends, hold tight to the promise of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who is always just a prayer away. Finally, Joseph shows us how to obey God in our daily lives. The final dream we have of Joseph is a calling back to Jerusalem, back home, if you will. And we read about this in Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. It says, "After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead.' So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said to the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene." God uses life circumstances and challenges to work in us to accomplish his plans. Isaiah 11:1 said the Messiah would be a Nazarene, and God was using Archelaus and working through Joseph to make this come true. Now, Archelaus was a tyrant, even worse than his father, King Herod. Archelaus began his reign by having 3,000 prominent citizens executed. His reputation would cause any good father or stepfather to think twice about taking a child, a Messiah, there. So instead of heading home, the Holy Family would reside in Nazareth, a safer place. It is a day-to-day obedience in our lives that builds up the bedrock of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. It is a day-to-day obedience in our lives that builds up the bedrock of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Day-to-day obedience. In his most famous sermon, Jesus would say in Matthew 7:24-25, "Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Obedience. Day-to-day obedience. Are you living in that day-to-day obedience? Hearing the word of God is good. There's no doubt about it. It is good to hear, to read the word of God. Do it. But obeying or putting it into practice is the key to dealing with the storms in your life. Do it. And this is a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. We just don't think about it on a daily basis, and we need to. We get sidetracked by life, our work, our family, our finances, our selfishness, and anything and everything in between that seems to be pressing upon us. And it leads us away from obedience to God many times. When you were a kid, in your childhood, did you ever make a coupon book for one of your parents? You know what I'm talking about? Those coupon books that you'd staple together with paper notes. Perhaps you'd give them on one of your parents' birthdays or a Mother's Day or a Father's Day. And what were these coupons for? Promises, right? Hey, Dad, here's a coupon for mowing the lawn. Right? One freebie for you. Or Mom, here's a coupon for vacuuming the house. I remember making these things. Either way, these coupons are really just things that, as a good child, we wanted to express our obedience to our parents, right? We wanted to show our love to our parents, and we did that by being obedient to them, right? We know these are things that our parents asked us to do that we didn't like to do, but we showed our love through our obedience. And these coupon books were a way of saying, hey, you don't even have to ask me. I want to be obedient because I love you. Have we got those from our kids? I don't think so. They just love us, yeah. That's an interesting thought. Yeah. But what if this Christmas we make a so-called coupon book to God? You ever thought about that? Take the time to sit down and write out the different ways you are going to seek to be obedient to your God, to Him, to your Lord and Savior. It may feel silly or seem silly, but it's a great idea to make a fresh commitment to Him and to remind ourselves of what obedience to God looks like. There's something that happens when you write something down. Have you noticed that? It seems to just kind of stick in your mind or your heart better when you write something down. So what if we all did that this Christmas? Our gift to God would be this coupon book to our Heavenly Father of obedience. Write these things down and keep them in your Bible. And hopefully you read your Bible that you'll see this coupon book that you wrote during Christmas throughout the year and be reminded, oh yes, Father, I promised you that I'd do this. I promised you to be obedient in loving my neighbor and praying for my neighbor John, talking to him about you. Sound good? Let's do it, church. But this mystery man, Joseph, this righteous man who cared for Mary and helped raise the Messiah, seemed to show us what simple obedience looks like. God said, go, and Joseph said, okay. He didn't have to be a great religious person. He didn't have to know how everything was going to work out. He didn't have to be seen and respected by others. His story wraps up in Matthew chapter 2. We don't even know what becomes of Joseph. We just know he was obedient. I want the same to be said about me, to be known about me, that I was obedient to God, my Heavenly Father. Joseph seems to kind of be the living embodiment of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:1. And we'll close off with this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So in other words, with God helping you, leading you, take your everyday life, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your goings, your comings, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And embrace what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus, we thank you that you came into this world. You left your heavenly throne to be born as a man into this world. Not as a prince or a king in earthly standards, but in a lowly stable. Lord, you can relate to what life is like. As a child, Lord, your life was in peril. You had to flee as a refugee with your mother and father to Egypt. Lord, you know what pain is. You know what suffering is. You know what even death is like. So, Lord, we thank you that we can cast our burdens on you. And Lord, we thank you that we can put our trust in you completely. And Lord, we thank you that we can have your peace in our heart. Your word promises that you give us peace when we come to you, when we submit ourselves to you, when we live obedient lives to you, that your peace resides and rests in us. Because we know you are the God of the universe. You are King over all. And Lord, no matter what we endure in life, we want to remain obedient, faithful children to you, our Heavenly Father. So Lord, we just humble ourselves and submit to you. Thank you for the story of Joseph. Thank you for what we can learn from it today. And help us to be obedient servants like Joseph was. And Lord, we just rejoice in this Christmas time. As we rejoice in your birth, Jesus, and rejoice that we can share life together as your church, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, that we can love and serve one another as you set that example for us. Thank you, Jesus. And we bless each other. And we bless you, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.